All right, would you turn with me to Romans? Romans chapter 15. Now, just a little bit about us. I've been with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples a little over 10 years now. I was in the Air Force for 24 years, and the Lord called me out of there to serve missionaries. In fact, the last 7 or 8 years that I was in the Air Force, the Lord put it on my heart to go visit a missionary with every day of vacation that I took. And so the Lord blessed me greatly. The second mission trip I took was to Thailand, and that's where I met Diadem. I met her there in a prison in Thailand. If you want to hear the rest of that story, you have to ask her. I enjoy the shock value of it more than she does. But the Lord brought us to Baptist Missions to Forgotten People shortly before Jonathan and Rachel. And I really believe that the Lord kept us away from Jacksonville until Jonathan and Rachel were ready to go down to the home office. And now, you know, you may work with some people you think, well, these are good guys. But I've worked with many people in many different places that I had a good relationship with. But the relationship that me and Jonathan has is special. We're friends. We work together. And I get a lot of questions that I'm going to talk about tonight about pre-field ministry. But the question I like most is when one of our missionaries calls and I give them an answer just like that. And they say, wait a minute, can you make that decision on your own? Do you need to ask Brother Jonathan? And I always say, no, I don't need to ask Brother Jonathan. You see, they don't know it. But if I give an answer like that, it's because we talk about everything. We don't leave something up to where I'm making a decision that wouldn't be the decision he would make. And in fact, if something came up and it wouldn't be the decision, then I would go ask him. But I love the fact that we can work together. And when we say that BMFP is a family, it starts with us. And in fact, our families are so knit together now that we're pretty much involved in everything with each other. And we're grateful for that. We love all of both of their families, and they love our family, and that has helped us out a lot. But now, concerning pre-field ministry, anybody wondering what pre-field ministry is? No, but no, everybody knows. I can see. We call it pre-field ministry, and other people call it deputation. I was never quite sure whether it was the missionary deputizing a church or the other way around, but. It's pretty much the same process. If someone is doing deputation properly, they are doing pre-field ministry. We call it that just to really exemplify ministry. You see, the important thing is when you start something, you're ministering from day one. So as we read through this scripture, I want you to pay attention to clearly how much people are working together. Because the most important thing is that it is ministry. You know, Jonathan talked a lot about relationship earlier, and every relationship is important. And you can't minister to someone without a relationship. But if we have a relationship with our churches, then we should want to go and to minister to them. But I was talking to someone earlier today, and they asked about the Lord maybe calling them into missions. And so my question was, what are you doing today? Do you realize that you cannot be called to do something else for the Lord until you're doing something for the Lord? The Lord expects us, our feet, to be moving all the time to find something to do. And many times you might say, well, I don't know what to do, and so I'll go and ask the pastor. But I'll go another step farther. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Open your heart. And you'll be able to go to pastor and say, Pastor, I noticed that there was something missing in this area, and I'd like to fill that gap. And the pastor might say, I already have someone to do that. Could you do something else? And he'll give you an idea. Or he might say, well, thank the Lord. I've been praying that someone would come to me. You know, one of the things that our missionaries like the most is when a pastor calls them and says, hey, I've been looking at you, and I want you to come and share your ministry with us. And that's what the pastor likes too. They like someone to come to him and say, look, I've been looking and I see something that needs to be done. So we need to start ministering in our place now. And then once you learn how to minister in your place, the Lord will give you opportunities to minister in other people's place. And that's what a missionary on pre-field ministry is doing, going to another church and ministering to them in whatever way that they can. And then when they're ready, they'll be ready to minister in the place that God has finally called them to. Someone asked the question this morning, how long does someone spend on pre-field ministry? And some missionaries from other places have called me and said, what do you do to make pre-field ministry shorter? And I say, absolutely nothing. I don't want to do one thing that shortens that time. I want you to be on pre-field ministry as long as the Lord needs to make you who He needs you to be, so that when you get to the field, you're right and you can make it on the field. So I want to look at a couple of different perspectives this morning. The first one will be the missionary perspective, then the church's perspective of missions, and then the Lord's perspective. I keep going back and forth on that. Sometimes I want to put the Lord's perspective first, but let's give Him the final word tonight. So if you found your place in Romans chapter 15, I'm going to start reading in verse 15, and we'll skip a few verses, but read most of the rest of the chapter. It says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Now skip down to verse 23. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may deliver from them, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to take a Sunday out and to talk about the Great Commission. And Lord, to get into more detail than we normally get. Lord, I thank you for working in each and every heart. Lord, I ask you to allow your Spirit to flow this evening. Not that people would hear my words, but Lord, that each one of us would hear what you have to say to us tonight, and that our hearts would be changed for it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Excuse me. Did you notice how Paul there urged the church at Rome to help him in his ministry? And he didn't say, I want you to send me a few dollars. He said, I want you to be in much prayer for me. I want you to pray that I'll be able to come to you, that the thing that I'm doing in Jerusalem is fruitful, and that I'll be able to come to you in joy, and that we'll enjoy the time together, and then I want you to send me on to somewhere else. See, Paul had no problem communicating that there was a need. This is really what we do in pre-field ministry. If we don't communicate the need, who will know about it? But it's not just that we want to tell you what our need is, but we need to express what's going on in the world. You see, if you never see someone halfway around the world, you're never going to have a heart for them. How are you really going to believe that someone needs to hear the gospel in some faraway village if you never see them, you never talk about them, you never hear of them? So many times we just need to have a personal story from a missionary that helps us with that. So I want to look at the missionary's perspective first. Number one, a missionary has to firmly believe that God will provide. You know, we go through a lot of things in the church, and you'll hear a lot of times a missionary will come and say, we have this need and this need and this need. Well, we're doing that so that you're informed, because God takes care of things through His people. But He's not out of resources. I don't need you. I need God. I need Him. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now, I've always believed since I was a Christian that the Lord would provide. But the Lord has a way of showing us how weak our faith is. And so in 2011, when I retired from the Air Force, I had a certain period of time where they were still paying me. They paid me from the beginning of June. I got out all the way through the end of August. The 1st of September was my last official paycheck. Well, in June, I went down and talked to Dr. Burge about starting with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. But it took a long time for things to get going. And so, and because I didn't know anything about being a missionary, I started looking for a job. I had no problem finding jobs that I was qualified for, very high-paying jobs. But every time I looked at the job, then I would think, well, I bet if they're going to pay me that much, they're going to want me to be there all the time. And I'm not going to be able to do that kind of job and start pre-filled ministry at the same time. So I talked to the Lord about that, and I just said, well, Lord, whenever it's time for us to go, we're going to go. So I'm not going to get a job, and I'm going to trust that we get to start going out and raising support by the time the money runs out, or by the time the paychecks run out. When we made it to August, I had to go ahead from BMFP to go ahead and start calling churches. So I had another talk with the Lord. And I said, well, Lord, it looks like we're going to lose a good portion of our income. But since you want us to be missionaries, we have some savings and we're just going to keep going. I'm just going to trust you to take care of our needs. Well, that lasted about a month. And then after I got that paycheck in 1st of September, I started writing out the tithes and missionary checks. And then I got to looking at that and I thought, well, the tithe will be based on how much we make. But I don't want to give one dime less to missions and offerings, because what kind of missionary cuts their missionary giving when they go to be a missionary? But when I looked at the numbers, that was 80% of our current income in tithes and offerings. So I had to make a decision. And I said, well, Lord, again, you've given us the savings that we have, and we're going to start calling churches here real shortly, so I'm just going to trust you. Well, from September to July, in September and October, I wrote and or called 2,000 churches. I got one meeting. That meeting wasn't until February, and that church was our first church to take us on, but they didn't take us on until July. And you might be saying, well, he's really telling a story of faith. Well, it was very hard. My faith was not what it is today, back then. But I still kept doing it, and I decided, well, if I keep trying to figure out a way to make all the bills paid, then I'm going to want all the credit for it when the time comes. So I didn't pay attention to it. Every time a bill came in, I paid it in the month it was due, and I let it go. And when we came to July, and the first church took us on for support, and then about a week after that, then my VA disability came through, and they told me what was going on with that. And so I looked at the books. And I had not spent one dime of my savings. You see, my faith was that I would reach the end before I ran to the end of the savings. But my God provides my every need. He wasn't dependent on my savings. He was dependent on me being dependent on Him. Everything surrounded me being dependent on Him. God will provide. And that's what a missionary has to live on. Everything has to go on. God will provide. Because it's not just in the finances, it's in everything. A place to live, furniture. Can I make it where I'm going? Me, my family, my children, everybody has to be called into the ministry together and understand that God will provide. It may not be in the way or the thing that I think or the way that I want it, but He will provide. And the second is to expect sacrifice and persecution. Sounds fun, doesn't it? If you're going to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ said that there's going to be persecution. He didn't say, take up your cross daily and follow me for no reason at all. He said, I want you to die to yourself. And I want you to follow me. And so there's going to be a sacrifice. The world does not like you telling them that they're sinners. Jonathan mentioned that this morning. Very few times when someone goes to a new field. It doesn't matter if it's in the U.S. If you start a deaf ministry, the deaf ministry will be glad that you come and learn sign language to talk to them. But they don't want you to share the gospel with them. I mean, they will after they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be glad. But we have to accept that just those things are going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 and following says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness. I'm trying to encourage Brother and Sister Farringer. These things are going to come. But see, if we expect it, it's not so bad. If we go somewhere and expect things to be all rosy, which is part of the thing that happens. You know, you go to every church and they're so glad to see you. We love you. We're glad that we can send you where the Lord is calling you and that we can have an arm of the church reaching out into that new community. And we're glad it's you that's going. But the missionary has to expect it to be hard and to steel themselves against it. And then go back to number one. My God is going to provide. The third, there is grace to do all that the Lord asks. I was listening to a message not too long ago. We were in a revival and the pastor was preaching on Psalm 23, going through the surelies of the Bible. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. You know, even though there's going to be sacrifice, even though there's going to be persecutions, the missionary has to understand that there's enough grace there to do everything that we ought to do. All the resources are there and all the grace is there to make it through. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Acts 20:34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. You know, Paul worked where he could work, but you can't always do that today. And sometimes it's not even a good idea. And I'll explain that a little later. It should be a hard task. If you're going to give your life to live of the gospel, and we're really going to do something with Christ, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to give something up. But I can tell you it was the best sacrifice I've ever made. Number four, we're responsible for ourselves and our family. We're talking about the perspective of missionaries. You know, it's not your responsibility to take care of my family. Just like it's not my responsibility to take care of your family. You've always taken care of your family, right? A missionary has to look at it that way. That if you get on the field and you start thinking, oh, that church used to support me and they dropped me. Now what I'm going to do? They've really forsaken the Lord. No, you're responsible for your family. You take care of your family as a missionary, just like everybody else takes care of their family. It may not seem like a big thing, but it's important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we read when they're living of the gospel, Paul says, I've used none of these things. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I don't want you to give to missionaries because the missionary cannot take care of themselves. I don't want you to give to a missionary to make up so that they don't have to manage their own finances. I want you to give to missions because God has asked you to give to missions for your blessing. Because He's told you to take part in the Great Commission. Maybe in one way, maybe in many ways, but every one of us has the responsibility to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. And if we've all been given the responsibility, we all need to be financially involved. You know, I've noticed, especially in this day and age, financially is the easiest way to be involved. How hard is it I go on the website where the bank is and I say, give this to this person, give this to that person. And so every month, almost all the bills are taken care of. I don't have to put any thought into it. How hard is it to give money? It's a lot easier to give money than it is time. It's a lot easier to give money than it is tears. We need to be involved. But we need to be involved in missions for our sake. Because the Lord's only going to bless us when we do what He calls us to do to reach a lost and dying world. Now, we're not only the perspective of the missionary, but now I want to move to the local church's perspective. And these things are very important. I'm not going to hit on everything. Just a few things that are really important for us. And the first one is a desire to serve, send, and support. You know, the local church has to have an overwhelming desire to reach the world and take up the Great Commission. You know, I know it says go, but sometimes our going requires us to go just right outside the doors, not all the way to the other side of the world. But if the church won't go right outside the door, what they're trying to do on the other side of the world means nothing. We have got to have a great desire to serve the Lord, to send each and every person out of the church to share the gospel. And we need to be dedicated to supporting missionaries on the field. Philippians 4:15 and 16 says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, isn't it nice to see a desire to send in love without burdening? You know, sometimes we don't think about that, but if you send a missionary out, and it seems to be very common now, I don't want to raise support. I just want to go and I'll be a tent maker just like Paul. Well, I just read you something there. Did it sound like Paul was always making tents? Did Paul only get from place to place by making tents? No, he wasn't afraid to make a tent. He wasn't afraid to talk to people while he was making a tent. But at the same time, he knew that the churches need to give to the cause of Christ. But see, now most countries have laws that say you can't come into our country and take jobs that our people have. So if I go to take the gospel into a foreign land, I can't expect those people, you know, if Paul made a tent, how was he making money? Only by selling a tent. So I can go to southern Mexico and I can start making hammocks, but then the people of Mexico have to buy a hammock from me so that I can live. Or I can let the people of the Lord share in the reaching of those people there. And then when I go to where they are, I'm fully supported. I'm not burdening them. I'm just bringing the gospel to them. But however, let me read Corinthians 16:10. We need to have a desire to send missionaries and helpers to missionaries. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I do also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." You see, Paul was urging the Corinthians to help send Timothy for the sake of the ministry. And that's part of what we do. We want to encourage the supporting of all missionaries. If they're of like faith and practice, we want them all to succeed. We want all of them to be helped. But the church has to have a desire to send missionaries and helpers to those missionaries. One of the things that we have the hardest time with people, someone just the other day said, "Well, you never really made it to the mission field, did you?" And I said, "No, my mission field is to help missionaries get to the field." There's been many times when I had to have long explanations, even with pastors. You know, when the military goes out to war, only about 10% of the military is on the front line. And that's only, so when Norman Schwarzkopf went across Iraq, that line that you were watching was only 10% of the people that were in Iraq. Didn't even count the people who were doing logistics and flying equipment over there and doing all the other stuff that the military does to prepare. And yet we think that missionaries, because we have this idea that all the great missionaries of the past were working alone. Well, let me tell you, in fact, if you're not doing a family devotion, do one. And every now and then in your family devotion, read a book from missionaries. You'll find out that every one of them, everyone that you can find a book on, had a support network. In fact, if they had no support network, you would not have a book that told you about their life. Because their support network is the one that was bringing all that information back and writing the things down for them. Everybody needs a support network. So we can't just be about saying, "Well, if you're going to plant the church, well. But if you're helping somebody plant the church, we're not for that. Everybody's got to be planting a church." Well, don't expect the gospel to get all around the world that way, because it doesn't work that way. And if they don't need a helper, then they wouldn't need us either. I need every person that's sitting in this room. Brother and Sister Farringer need every person that's sitting in this room. If we're not working together, we're not reaching the world. However, help doesn't mean that you're responsible for the indigenous church. You see, have you ever asked another church to come in and give you the money to repair the piano? To rebuild the sanctuary, the bathrooms, the hallways? Or did this church bind together and build the building that we're worshiping in today? You see, when we go to another country, the missionary should go fully supported. The missionary should use some of the support that they get to help the local community. But when people come into the church, it's the responsibility of the indigenous people to build the church. You see, I'm telling you what the responsibility of the church is. And the reason why this is in there is because once there's a church chartered in a new place, that church has every responsibility that you have. But if you take that responsibility away from them, you're stealing from them the joy of the Lord. Don't we really have the joy of the Lord when we get involved in something? When we're doing something and we take a part and we give. When our heart's with the Lord, we want to give everything we have. And when we give everything we have, our heart just turns back to the Lord that much more. That's how we have a right relationship with our Creator. So we want to make sure that we handle our responsibility, but we don't take the responsibility that the local church has in another area. If you see the church gets wiped out by a hurricane, and you say, let's get together and give them an offering and take care of that problem, that's what brothers and sisters in Christ do. That's not the same thing as building the work for them. Now let's take a few minutes to look at the Lord's perspective. I'm going to read 3 John verses 5 through 8. It says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Here's a few things that I see in here that God wants from us. First of all, he wants us to spread the gospel for his honor and for his glory. Second, he wants us to be an encouragement, not a burden, to the unreached. Third, he wants us to allow churches to share in the ministry with joy. You know, when the Farringers leave here to go out on pre-field ministry, they're going to be in and out, and you're going to see them. And some people are going to say, well, why aren't they here all the time? Well, they're out there because they're doing what they need to do to get to the people that the Lord has called them to. But imagine that when you reach out, I said earlier, when you reach out in the community, that's the arm of Open Door Baptist Church reaching out over here and reaching out over here. When they get on that plane and they fly all the way to southern Chile, your arm is going to get really long, stretching all the way out to Chile. And that's your work. That's Open Door Baptist Church in a faraway land, speaking another language for the glory of God. And in here we also see that it's right to care for the to care for missionaries and evangelists. You know, when people come in, take as good a care of them as you can. Not because they deserve it, but because the Lord tells us to be all about hospitality to the brethren. It's a good thing just to take care of somebody. You know, one of the hardest things that many of us have, my dad taught me to work for everything that I get, not to take anything from anyone. If I'd have walked up to my dad and I asked him to borrow $5, I can't even imagine what kind of look he would have given me. So because it was so hard for me to ask my dad for things, I started working in junior high. From eighth grade on, I bought all my own clothes, I bought all my own school books, I bought all my own sports apparel, I sent myself to sports camp in the summer. Anything I wanted to do, I never asked, I paid for it myself. And the hardest day of my life after that, in the area of money, was the first day that a pastor stuck some money out in his hand and I had to take it. Because I don't take something from someone else, I earn it. But the Lord told me that I need to take that so that they can have a blessing. I don't feel like I need someone to give. But the Lord feels like people need to give and that I have something good to do with it. And because I have the right perspective about that, when anybody gives to our ministry, that everything belongs to the Lord. Last week, an evangelist was staying in our camper. He was staying in our camper because that thing belongs to the Lord. No matter what happens to it, no matter, you know, if something gets broken in there, the Lord has to fix it. Because if he doesn't fix it, then I can't use it and then I can't go. So he takes care of everything. So it's right to take care of people because that's what we've been called to do in hospitality. But the Lord also wants us to prove ourselves fellow workers for the truth by our love, our hospitality, our support, and our encouragement. You know, you have, I understand, 51 missionaries that you support. When's the last time that you personally called one of those missionaries to encourage them? You know, it's one thing to make sure the church sends the check every month. And it's one thing for us to put the check into the church every month. But it's another thing for us to actually get involved in the work of sharing the gospel, to encourage each other, to lift each other up. Now I just want to take a couple minutes here at the end to talk about a mission agency. You know, anybody have a definition for a mission board? You see, Jonathan and I work every day as part of an agency that helps missionaries not only get to the field, but stay on the field. But the mission board for us is 14 men, most of whom are pastors of local independent Baptist churches, that got together to work together, to find a better way to help churches send missionaries around the world, even to America. In fact, in Baptist missions, more of our missionaries are in America than they are everywhere else, because we have people reaching the poor, the unsheltered, the abused people, crisis pregnancy, the incarcerated. Of course, we have church planters too. We have church planters in areas where churches are very difficult to be planted. But these 14 men got together to work together so that they can talk about what we ought to do. And so sometimes we have a problem, and we get together, and even if it's a missionary problem, we get together and say, how can we solve this problem in the best way for the missionary, their sending church, for us, and especially the cause of Christ? And so the mission board isn't something that's, people call them parachurch organizations. It's not a parachurch organization. It's an organization that's made up of many churches, pastors, godly men, missionaries, that want to work together to make sure that we can send out missionaries in the best way possible. Jonathan talked this morning about sending out missionaries from a church and saying maybe they don't have the resources. But it's for sure that no church has sent out enough missionaries that they have the experience of 14 pastors that send out missionaries. What church has 14 experienced pastors and several missionaries that have been on the field for 50 years? You see, we need to work together. So we have the reason we need mission agencies is because we have a complicated world and we have an inadequate church for sending those missionaries. The world has gotten very complicated, far above what we can handle in any one church. So you can call us a process helper if you want to, but it's always a two-way street. If you don't send them, we can't help them, because we don't send out missionaries, the church does. But we have the burden to help missionaries go. So we help in support of the, and sometimes in lieu of the sending church. You know, I wanted to tell you this little story. Several years back, there was a missionary in Asia that was having some problems, and it looked like kids that were under his care were not being taken care of the way they ought to have been taken care of. So we called the sending church, and the sending church said, well, we're all old, and we've never traveled, and we can't go over there. So we got together and decided that I would go and see what was going on. So I'm sure that there's a couple of you that could do this, but probably not too many. Could you pick up in a two-week time frame, fly to a country that you've never been before, find the compound of the missionary that's there, and go visit them without the help of the missionary? Well, the Lord has specifically prepared me for doing that kind of stuff. But we had other guys that could have done it too, because the mission board is prepared to help the church in the way that they ought to help them. And so I went and I came back and then I sat down with the church and I explained to them everything that I saw. We talked about what the solutions would be. Then I went back to check on him again. You see, sometimes the local church just isn't in the position of going and doing all the things that need to be done. It's great when the pastor can visit many foreign fields and feel comfortable going and checking on the missionaries. But Jonathan talked about accountability this morning. Do you realize that accountability is a gift that you give to somebody else? You can't take accountability. You can only give accountability. And so every missionary should want accountability. If one of your missionaries, you call them and they don't want to tell you what's going on in their life and work and they don't want visitors to come, talk to them about dropping them for a lack of accountability. Because I found that everybody who's doing the right thing wants accountability. And I've termed it this way before. Have you ever been out playing baseball and you hit a home run? You ever look up in the stands to see if everybody saw it or not? Are you ever hoping that nobody saw it? When you're doing something good, you want everybody to see it. And that's the way it should be in missions too. And so we help with that. We help with that accountability because we can go on the spur of the moment and do what needs to be done. But also we do something I like to call recommending missionaries. In 3 John verse 1, it says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children and the children walk in the truth." In 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Well, that's a short verse, but this is Paul recommending Sosthenes to the new church, that he's carrying the letter. But I want to tell you what a good guy he is. And Gaius, I'm telling everybody in my letter what a good guy you are. You see, sometimes the mission board needs to recommend. This is what we do. When a missionary goes out of BMFP, the Farringers will say, "We are missionaries out of Open Door Baptist Church in Claremont, Florida, going through with the help of Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples." Now, you've got a decent-sized church here, but would you support me and understand that my church is of like faith and practice with you if I told you my pastor's name is Stephen Nolf, Perry Hill Road Baptist Church, Montgomery, Alabama? 6 or 7 of you have been there, right? You see, the mission board gives credibility, just like Paul did. He said, "This guy's been helping me all this time." And we say, "We've checked this guy out. We've talked to their pastor. We know that this is a good, solid church. And if you take them on for support, they're going to go to the field and do a work with our help. We're going to make sure that they do it. And both of us are going to report back to you, but the job is going to be done." So we recommend them. But then next, we also commend missionaries. Last night, Brother Jonathan was talking to Jeffrey and said, "Hey, you know, I know some guys down there close to that area in Chile. I'm going to call them and see if they'll help you out." See, that's a commendation. And many times we found that you know, there's a couple of guys that they can go out and they can go anywhere and they don't need any help. They're going to set up a church and they're going to do everything they ought to do. But those kind of people are few and far between. Even a pioneer generally needs somebody who's close to them to help them in the task that they're going to do. And so what we like to do all the time is have a good missionary close by where a missionary goes, so they at least have a friend on the field. And they can go and couple up with them, and they can show them around the country and tell them what to do and what not to do while they're learning the language. You see, because if we commend a missionary to a field and we work with other missionaries on the field, the cause of Christ gets done together in a team. And this is the way that we should do it. See, what I heard last night, soon as I heard them talking about this, I thought of Romans 16:1. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." See, I know her sending church, and I know Phoebe, and she's a hard worker, and I'm sending her to you, and I want you to help her in there because she's going to do a work for you also. So we have that commendation. And so you see how the mission board fits into both what a missionary should have and their responsibilities, what a church ought to do, what the Lord wants to do. And we just step in there and fill in all the little gaps wherever we can. Where there's no gap, we don't fill in. And we shouldn't fill in. But where we can, we should. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's really a simple command, isn't it? A command to all believers. And yet, even though it's simple, it takes every believer to tell every lost person about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're living in a time, I don't suppose that there's going to be anybody here that's really happy about the way things are going in our country and in our world. But I hope you realize that we're in a time of a great falling away. The great falling away is not the world, it's Christians. There's a great falling away among the people of God. Because if we shared the gospel the way we ought to share the gospel, if the Great Commission was everything to us and every one of us worked together, if the pinky toe and the mouth were working together to see the gospel go around the world, we would live in a different world. I know the Bible says that everything's going to come to the end, but it doesn't have to come to the end in our community the same way that it happened somewhere else. And the only reason we're coming to the end is because God's people are falling away. And if we would get back to the business that we ought to have and work together doing it. And so this is the story that we're telling about BMFP as a family. We want to work together in every way that we can and get every person involved that we can in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many times I see church members, even if they do tell someone about the church, they say, hey, why don't you come to church? And I hear church members pray and say, Lord, what, would you bring those people back? Why aren't they coming to church anymore? Would you bring them back? And would you bring people into the church so that they can hear the gospel during the preaching and that they can get saved? Well, you can look through the Bible all you want to. You'll find no commandment to bring people back or to bring people into the church. Those are things that God does. The command is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our command. So we have to decide whether we're going to go. And I thought it'd be helpful tonight if you understood what pre-field ministry is. This is the process that we go through and why. Because we all want to work together to get every Christian involved in the Great Commission. Would you stand with me and bow your heads? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, I ask you tonight to work in our hearts in a special way. Lord, I thank you for Open Door Baptist Church. I thank you for the mission-minded nature. Lord, I thank you for the missionaries that they've sent out. And Lord, I thank you for the heart that they have to see the gospel go out around the world. But Lord, I know that there's people listening tonight that have not yielded themselves to you to whatever they should, whatever you would call them to do in the area of missions. Indeed, Lord, many of us that have surrendered our lives to missions need to rethink our commitment to you. And Lord, I just ask you to work in hearts, for it's in Jesus' name.